We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt, that fine gentleman over there, as always in snowy, but still cheery, Chicago, Illinois. Dan Rubenstein, sir, how are you?
Good. Playing some tennis, baking some pizza, nothing crazy to report, though I have been trying to potty train a three-year-old. It's an ongoing process. This is attempt number two. He's doing a lot better this time, but it's an ongoing situation, Tyler. So that was my weekend. That's something I learned, by the way. If you're thinking about having children, could not recommend it enough, but weekends are different. Weekends become a lot more work than I was used to. So that's the only thing I have to add. That just go in knowing that. Otherwise, Ty, I'm thrilled to be here. And you learn to appreciate work after weekends or long weekends with young children. So here we are. I'm great.
Here we are. Welcome back in. Dan, I'm glad you had a good weekend. It sounds like it was a mostly successful effort from
so
the
far,
messages
so good
that we exchanged. So I'm pleased to hear that. I hope it continues going well.
I appreciate the support from you.
Please keep us posted on that front. SolidGiveaway.com, we posted a new item that is out there. Maybe y'all have heard of Reggie Bush, won the Heisman in 2005. Reggie Bush has a signed mini helmet that we acquired via the interwebs and that we are now putting up as part of our Solid Giveaway item.
Love it.
So all you got to do is go on out to solidgiveaway.com. It's free. You just got to go through a few quick and easy steps to throw your hat in the ring, get your name in the hat to win that signed mini helmet by the one, the only Reggie Bush. We will pick a winner on Valentine's Day because, as you know, Dan, Reggie Bush stormed into the college football community and just stole our hearts.
I'll say he stormed into our hearts and minds. Yeah.
In the early aughts, captured our imagination and made us better college football fans for it. So
look at you.
SolidGiveaway.com is where you can find that. Also, Verballers.com. I have pulled a passage here that we received at the bottom of our latest Bruin Day episode. We're doing Bruin A episodes, as we call them. It's our bonus stuff. We've been doing it all throughout the regular season. We're going to continue doing it once a week throughout the off season as well. Quote, the show was so good, you guys need to work out a way to convey to the public that the Bruin A's are a big part of why the price of admission is worth it.
Whoa.
I don't know what that
way
is.
More promotion.
Be it YouTube cut-ups for teaser clips or what, but you guys just talking whilst, I love that word, guided by audience questions is always a joy. Thank you.
Love
kind
it.
Sir or madam. Verballers.com.
Boom.
is Psych. Where you can go to find out more info on that. We offer the live stream of that video available to all. The archived version is available to our premium tier, but everybody gets the audio at bare minimum. We take your questions every week. And honestly, it's one of the most exciting, most fun things that we do every week.
I have nothing to add. I'm ready to get, you want to get in some news before we get into our main subject?
I do. I don't have the sound. My soundboard died.
Can you approximate it, Ty?
Breaking news!
Boop, 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 boop. I think we nailed it. We're like the guy, oh, now I forget his name, Michael something from Police Academy. That's a very old reference at this point in time. But we do have some news. So the playoff, not expanding yet.
Do we have,
a timetable?
Screeching halt sounds at the ready.
Yes.
Because it sounds like that's where we're at. I did my best to skim the rather long Heather Dinich article.
Okay, fair. She does a great job.
Awesome job. It appears as if the ACC has some reservations, particularly Clemson.
Sort of, yeah. It's more of, first of all, capital T, capital A, the Alliance was not a part of the previous conversation. Of course, Georgie K coming in as the new commissioner in the Pac-12 was shadowing Larry Scott during the conversations about 12-team expansion. But in those meetings, not every commissioner was present. And of course, Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, is brand new as well. And so Kevin Warren, relatively new in his own right in the Big Ten. So there is that concern because some of these commissioners are saying, look, What does this look like for the athletes? What does this look like with relation to NIL? What does this look like in terms of expansion of the sports schedule? And the Jim Phillips thing is he referenced talking to coaches who were unanimous in not wanting expansion, even though Pitt would have been in this past year if they had adhered to a conference champion model. And Clemson players specifically, per Jim Phillips, were not in favor of playing more games, which is not necessarily where this is all going if the regular season schedule is altered in some way. So I think the sentiment was, we're cool with expansion, but let's figure out how it can work for everybody, and everybody not necessarily meaning conference commissioners, but everybody coaching and playing and involved in scheduling and making this happen from an administrative and competitive standpoint. So that, I guess, is the point. Though it seems like expansion is inevitable, there are now factions and conversations around the margins about how this is all going to work that has pushed things back to a place of, I don't know, questionable scheduling.
The current
deal, we don't know when it's going to happen. Yeah,
the current format ends in what, 2 years, 2025, and so many of these early discussions, I think, are trying to go to a place where they could change it before then, but I think we're at a point, one way or the other, where they're going to expand the playoff. It's going to happen. Right. It's just a matter of when. Is it going to happen
before? And what it looks like, yeah.
Right, and what it looks like. Is it going to happen before that 2025 or 2026, whenever it is, or is it going to happen after? All along, there has been speculation about media rights and what does it mean if they do it before versus after. It all goes to ESPN if it's before. If it's after, they can chop it up. It seems there's a desire to chop it. There's like a whole slew of media-related things that are involved here, but we haven't even gotten to that stage, is what I think I take away from this. What we're still kind of squabbling over is where are we playing the games? How many games? I saw Jim Phillips. He had some thoughtful comments
when
on the matter.
When are they playing? Yeah.
You know, with regard to player safety and health and playing the extra games, and I think it's fair to ask all those questions. I don't fault him for wanting to get answers to those beforehand. We will get there. It just may not happen as quickly as we were led to believe earlier this year when this working committee came back with the 12-team expansion idea or ideas. So we'll see.
Yeah, it just all rubs me the wrong way, Ty. I've been somewhat consistent in this. Like, I know it's inevitable. I know it's happening. I know I will personally adjust. But I'm still of the mind that this is not all the point of college football, that this shaping and growing of January in the sport. Like, I understand everybody wants to find a national champion. Okay, great. I'm along for that. But that we are focusing so much and we're pouring so much into it when so few teams actually have a chance of winning it, especially now that they're going to have to win two or three games to win the whole thing, three, four, whatever, however many games it's going to go to, that I think we're losing sight of the appeal and charm and the differentiating factors of the sport. Like, I don't know, you ever go to a pro stadium and, you know, like they build up the area around the stadium. There's like a yard house, you know, all those types of places. Like, are we just turning college football into a yard house? We're losing all of the like interesting, unique local bars and restaurants, and we're all just dining at the places within 344 feet of like the Citizens Bank Stadium or something. You know what I'm saying? That like we're just focusing on just like the big box element of January college football. And we're just like, I don't know, this just doesn't seem like the point of the sport at all. And that's just me, I suppose, because obviously I'm in the minority here. But I don't know. All of these stories just like, God, we're thinking about January some more. This is what we want from the sport. Okay, cool. And it just, I don't know, bums me out. I know it's happening. I know it's inevitable. I'll get on board in the way that I can. But I don't know, Ty. Does this do it for you? Is this really doing it for you? That's a leading question.
I love the idea of playing first round playoff games on campus.
Sure.
I don't know if that will happen, but at least that very specific aspect of some of the plans that have been floated, that very specific aspect is of incredible interest to me. I would love to see that. I think that would very much play into what you're describing, that nuance, the uniqueness of college football, having games on campus.
Right.
Are they going to do it? I don't know. I don't know if that's something that they can agree to. Everybody seems wedded to the bowl system as it stands. You know, I'm not going to take a side on that. I just would love to see more games on campus. I think that's the one thing you and I can agree on. Beyond that, though, how they structure it, how teams get in, how deep into January this thing goes, it's also fair to ask those questions, because for as much as we paid attention to the Alabama versus Georgia national championship game, and for as much as I know that it was a big deal to watch that game on January 10th for most of the people who listen to the show, I also know there are a fair amount of folks who, after their team played their bowl game, presumably before January the 10th, they were like, "Nah, I'm good. I'm not going to stay up to watch the SEC championship game again." So just let me know what happens after the fact, ESPN.com, CBSSports.com. Mm-hmm. And I'll be good with that. The same was true to an extent with the playoff, right? If your team wasn't in it, we saw ratings were down. And I could talk as much as I want about playing games on New Year's Eve and what that means, but I just think they need to find some way to keep interest high if they're going to really invest heavily into this 12-team model. Now, I'm all for it. I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I think at least initially, there will be interest in seeing what happens in those first two rounds.
Everybody's getting participation trophies, right? That's the whole point of this. Allow more teams to participate with the same exact outcomes, right? It's a participation trophy event coming to the sport we love.
But they have not proven to me through at least this first version of playoff expansion, if you want to call it that, when they went to four teams, they have not proven that they can drive that interest through a final four round, let alone a final 12. I think the interest will be higher in a final 12, probably more so than a final four.
But maybe.
They have not proven, the powers that be have not proven that they have a good way to make the college football watching public very interested as they would like in that final four round. And so they got to figure that part out. I don't know if it's marketing. I don't know if it's by including more teams, whatever it is. But if you're going to expand to 12, you got to prove out that the interest is going to be as high as you want it to be.
I am not bright enough, and please let me be the first to announce this. I'm not bright enough to understand TV ratings, what it all means, what to extrapolate from down ratings, from up ratings, how streaming numbers are involved or not involved, or people watching in groups or at bars or whatever. I don't know any of that stuff. That's not what I do. But it seems like with the playoff, people were super excited in 2014, 15, right? That was the first season. We get Oregon, Florida State, Alabama, Ohio State, Oregon, Who do they play? Yeah, Oregon, Ohio State in the national championship. Yep. I think that was the highest rated game. And like, it has just slowly fallen off every year that like people are excited for something new. And then like the reality of the situation sets in and you're just like, oh, these are the teams built to win it every year. I just, something tells me we're in for that with the 12 teamer that, you know, the sport grows during the regular season and shrinks in the postseason. And we're having the people, the same people decide on this postseason that have been deciding on all of the postseasons, the commissioners and Bill Hancock and all these people. And I just think it's going to go that way. Like there's going to be an inevitability to whatever this playoff becomes that is going to sort of further steer, like college football should be like this sport or like that sport instead of college football just being college football, right? With trying to maximize what the regular season is instead of saying what January is. Like, oh, we should get 12 teams or 16 teams and be like a sweet 16, like college basketball or like the NFL and like playing in home stadiums in the cold and get this team from Florida to a Midwestern place and see how they play. Okay, cool. That it's just going farther and farther, further and further away from I think what a lot of people or most people actually love about the sport. So I don't know. We'll see. Happy to be proven wrong. But it doesn't seem like people are into postseason college football for a national championship at the moment. Maybe that'll change when Pitt and Wisconsin and Baylor are playing. I don't know. Maybe it will. I don't know. Hard for me to see.
Write in. Let us know your thoughts. SolidVerbal@gmail.com. My hunch is that there's a lot of varying opinions on this very subject. My opinion varies from day to day, frankly. I've always been a playoff guy. I'm all in favor of 12 teams. But you can't help but be a little bit skeptical that this thing is going to end up being great for college football when you hear some of the behind-the-scenes conjecture, right? It's just, I think there's skepticism abound as to what it would do, what it would mean, how it would help, how it might hurt. The only way we're ultimately going to find out is when they put this thing into effect, whether it's now or later, and it will happen. But write in.
By the way, thoughts. More money, way more money for players would go a long way for me in appreciating any sort of expansion. That's all.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. All what right. else do we have around the world of college football? Very quickly, ooh, before we get into our game du jour.
Speaking of more money for other people beyond players, Kirk Ferentz is now making $7 million a season, which is not an unheard of amount of money for a relatively successful coach, which he is. He made the Big Ten championship game this year. He's extended through 2029 on the heels of, I looked it up, Iowa had the 104th most efficient scoring offense this year under his son. 104th. I think he's cracked a top 50 points per drive offense once in the past 10 years. So if that's worth $7 mil. And he dissolved the like diversity council that he was spearheading.
That was going to be my next thing.
Somebody on the council recommended that they move into a new direction with both hiring a new AD and new head football coach. So, yeah, those are the goings on in Iowa City right now. Sucks, I guess, if you're an Iowa fan looking for a new look Iowa offense.
Not a great look, Dan.
No,
not a great look at all. But Kirk Ferentz is sticking around until 3029, whenever it is. And I hopefully he can make some changes on offense. I don't know. He's not going to. It's his kid. But
no, bring in more cousins, more aunts to run things. Yeah.
Somebody needs to offer Brian Ferentz a job elsewhere to like run his own thing.
Sure. Like a Kinko's? What kind of job are you talking about?
I don't know. But that was always the thing with Jay Paterno at Penn State.
Right.
There are always jokes like, hey, are there any rich boosters who can offer this guy a job doing something else? Or do you own like a semi-pro team that perhaps you could put him in charge of just to get him out of that coordinator role?
A Rhett Bomar no-show car dealership job? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know who that booster is at Iowa to be like, hey, buddy, you wanna sell medical parts? You want to sell any sort of equipment that people, and you just don't have to do it. You just show up and be like, hey, I'm Brian. What would you like to know about what it's like to stand on the field at Kinnick? And hopefully you can move some catheters. I don't know. So that's Iowa football right now. We've got transfers. We've got NFL declarations. George is going to look very different next year. And by golly, I think they're still going to be talented, Ty. By golly, I think they're going to field a good team. But like the headline names, James Cook, N'Kobe Dean, Jordan Davis obviously is gone. George Pickens, Devontae Wyatt, Lewis Cine, who was so good all season long at safety. So they're going to look very different. They've had some transfers at corner, I believe, but I saw Nolan Smith, the edge rusher, outside linebacker. He announced he's returning. Stetson Bennett expected to return. They're just going to look very different, but I don't anticipate a giant drop-off. I don't believe they're going to be national championship contenders, but who knows? Ty, come on. They're one of like the six teams that can win it all most years, so who am I to say?
Okay.
Any other news?
Jaleel Billingsley to Texas, following old offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian. Drew Sanders, the Bama linebacker. Bama's lost a few kids. There's no way to keep up. Like Caleb Williams, at time of this recording, midday Monday, has not signed anywhere, though Mario Williams, his now former receiver at Oklahoma, is going to SC. Jackson Dart, the freshman USC quarterback who entered the portal, is deciding allegedly between Ole Miss and Oklahoma. And I think you had some thoughts, like why would he consider Oklahoma when Dylan Gabriel's there?
Yeah, I mean, what am I missing? Why? I understand that there is an appeal with Jeff Lebby.
Right.
I get that. And that's why Dylan Gabriel went there, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to, I get that. I understand that. What I don't understand for the life of me is why, if you're Jackson Dart, why would you go into a situation like that? Why would you sign up for a situation
right. Where
there's already a very obvious starter who has signed mm-hmm. on to play at Oklahoma, and you know that from day one, you're going to be in a fierce competition to get playing time. I understand these guys.
You have like a down quarter, they're calling for the other guy. Yeah.
I understand that if you are a quarterback recruit at that level, you are supremely confident in your own abilities. I'm not saying you shouldn't seek out some level of competition.
Right.
But this is a one-time transfer rule. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go and if you want to get immediate eligibility, and presumably if you want to be an NFL quarterback and get the most out of your college experience, why would you not go into a situation where there is less resistance? You know, everybody wants to talk the game and everybody wants to beat out the next best guy and prove their mettle at the college level. That's very admirable. Go where you're mm-hmm. going to get playing time. Go to Ole Miss. Ole Miss is fine. You will do well at Ole Miss. You can play for Charlie Weiss Jr. and Lane Kiffin, and you can leave in 2 years. I don't know what Charlie Weiss Jr.'s got up his sleeve, but nonetheless, there's a lot less resistance at Ole Miss than there is at Oklahoma. What are you doing? Go to Ole Miss.
Things.
It's fine. It's great. You loved your time in Oxford. Great, right?
Yeah, it's a fun time. I don't believe Jackson Dart will be tailgating in the way that I was tailgating when I was 23 years old or whatever, however old I was, with a bunch of college girls and sundresses. And it was a very different experience for me than I'm sure it would be for any Ole Miss quarterback tailgating. I suppose you're attending that school. So, he might really like Oklahoma. He might really like Brent Venables. He would be playing behind an offensive line coached by one of the, best three, if not the best offensive line coach in the country.
But he won't play until next year.
Right?
You think he's going to beat Dylan Gabriel? I don't.
I mean, so Jackson Dart attends USC with another blue chip quarterback and beat him out, Miller Moss, for the backup job behind Keaton Slovis. So on a certain level, they're like, you got to bet on yourself, right? Like, Ole Miss is still bringing in quarterbacks. Ole Miss might bring in a five-star, like they might bring in Arch Manning. Like, this is a landscape now where you like, well, I'm gonna go where it feels right, where the coaches are the best at developing quarterbacks. And of course, that's where all the quarterbacks want to go. So Jackson Dart, I don't know him personally, don't really know people that know him all that well, but you have to assume that he feels pretty good about his chances about starting wherever he goes based on the interest that he's received since entering the portal. Like, where would he, like, should he go to Cal and be the next average, you know, play behind an average offensive line and not throw to NFL receivers? Like, I don't know. What are you supposed to do?
I understand that it's a...
Should he go to Michigan and, like, try to beat out Cade McNamara and J.J. McCarthy? What's the move?
It's a fluid situation.
Yeah.
Pretty much all day, every day now in college football between the NIL stuff and the transfer rule and just, it's different, right? It's mm-hmm. different than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I get that it's fluid. I get that it's a moving target. I get that there is no silver bullet. I just don't understand. Like Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel's a good example. Dylan Gabriel
Yeah.
Decided to go to Oklahoma after he saw that there was an opening with Caleb Williams leaving.
Sure.
All right. He took this philosophy of, hey, first off, there was a relationship there with Jeff Lebby, and it made sense that he'd want to go there and play for him. But as soon as he found out there was an opening, he pulled back his commitment to UCLA and decided he was going to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Path of least resistance. If you have the one-time transfer, don't burn it on like a dream. Burn it on a place where you can go and play, and hopefully if you want to play in the league, give yourself the most reps, the best opportunity to do so. The betting on yourself thing makes a lot of sense to me. I get it. You have to do that on some level, but don't be stupid about it. Go where you're going to play.
Yeah, but everywhere you go, there is going to be a quarterback of the future or another quarterback behind you that fans are going to clamor for, that coaches are going to consider if you struggle. If he had stayed at USC, he's like, I can beat out Caleb Williams. Like, can you though? Like, I don't know what the solution is. Like, you either go somewhere where there isn't talent around you and the coaches don't have a track record of developing NFL caliber quarterbacks, or some place that has lost a bunch of guys to the portal for whatever reason, or that they don't have faith in their current quarterback of the future. But all of these places, because of transfers, because of, you know, everything going on, the movement in the sport, they're all going to load up at quarterback.
But then why not just stay at USC? If you're so confident, Caleb just Williams. Stay at USC and beat out whoever they bring in.
Because he probably believes, and rightfully so, Caleb Williams, if he's coming to USC, is already Lincoln Riley's guy, already has a leg up on the Lincoln Riley system, already is in with the Lincoln Riley guys and way of life.
But what about Dylan Gabriel's a Lebby guy.
Well, Lebby was Ole Miss, though. There was at least some sort of space there. And I don't know. Ty, you might just go to a school where you're like, this place feels like home, right? This place,
see,
I'm looking out.
Maybe
they have everything.
Maybe I'm too cynical at this stage in the game. But guys are getting money. Guys are going places. They're transferring like never before because they want to play in the NFL.
Sure.
And so feels like home, you know, you can make any place feel like home if you're getting seven figures or if you're getting a good NIL deal or if you got people in your ear telling you the right stuff. So right. I only half buy that in most cases. I don't get the decision making.
So Ole Miss is the obvious choice for you to play for Lane Kiffin with Matt Corral moving on to the NFL. Ole Miss has a new offensive coordinator, not that it's not Lane Kiffin's offense, and Charlie Weiss Jr. They lost a bunch of, I think, lost some offensive skill talent to the draft. At least Brent Venables has, like, it's fresh eyes, right? That he himself is not necessarily loyal to Dylan Gabriel or Jackson Dart either way. That, I guess, is the case. Like, right now, is there any other school where you're like, oh, man, why not go here? Why not go to North Carolina, unless you believe in Drake May? Is that the quarterback of the future? Like, why not go to, like, what's the school? What are the other options right now?
I don't know. I don't know. Don't ask me. Like, I don't know.
Don't go to Stanford. Their offense, they were producing NFL-level quarterbacks, and now they're not.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. There is another very high-profile quarterback that has transferred into Oklahoma, and now you are going to go there too? Again, one-time rule. You could transfer more, but that gets murky. One-time rule. Make it worth it.
I don't know. Maybe Dylan Gabriel's, I think, what he broke his clavicle? Yeah. Maybe he's got a bum collarbone that, like,
I don't know.
He's not throwing right. I don't know. I'm just speculating. I'm completely guessing that there's some reason that he feels like he could win a job anywhere, and those are the places that appeal to him. If I were him, I would look up who the best offensive line coaches are in the country after what Keaton Slovis was like on the, you know, under constant pressure at USC. I don't blame him for that. USC couldn't develop that many. I think they had a couple of offensive line draft picks, but I don't blame him for looking at it like that. I look forward to seeing where he goes. I look forward to following his career. He looks like Anakin Skywalker, right? That's his thing.
That is literally why he does the eye black thing, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
That's literally why. So, all right. We've got a fun game planned for today.
Yes.
We're going to be logging onto the internet. Dan, can you please play that sound for me?
Of course. There it is. Everybody knows this sound, unless you are a youth. Unless you are Gen Z.
Our baud modems are dialed in. We are hardwired now into the good old-fashioned interwebs for as long as I can remember, for as long as you can remember. Mm-hmm. Message boards have powered the college football community. It is truly one of the things that has made college football unique. Every sport has it. College football takes it to something of a different level.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Over the last couple of years, there have been a variety of social media accounts that have popped up to track some of the oddities that transpire in this very secular, or these very secular, college football ecosystems. One that you and I have grown particularly fond of is called Message Board Geniuses.
I treasure it.
At Board Geniuses on Twitter. We're big fans of the work. They don't know that we're doing this, but...
Is that B-O-A-R-D or B-O-R-E-D?
It could be
What
either.
Is their handle? Yeah, that's true.
I believe it's just B-O-A-R-D, Geniuses.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what they do is they capture some of the local flavor from around college football. I'm assuming many of these are sent in. They're not in any position to track all of them at once. That would be a gargantuan effort. But what you and I have done is we have gone through this beloved Twitter feed. We have pulled some of our favorites.
Yeah.
And we are actually going to analyze the veracity of some of these claims, right?
Yeah.
As you might expect, some are just incredibly galaxy brain and overthought and ridiculous in nature. Some actually, I pulled a couple. I was like, okay, I can maybe see this.
You're so on board. Yeah.
I'm on board. For those watching the video, I put together a tinfoil hat that I'm now putting
on. Look at you. You look wonderful.
I put the tinfoil hat on here.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to wear it for the remainder of the episode because we need to do so in order to talk through some of these things.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
By the way, can I ask you about the ethics of screen grabbing paywalled, in some cases, in most cases, message boards. Do you think it's okay in the interest of hilarious transparency, or do you think it's akin to the Matt Ufford theory of nobody should ever film anybody else at karaoke, right? That's a private, safe place to get things off of your chest and to vent in a lot of the same ways karaoke is, right? That you're just like, I'm going to have a couple drinks. I had a rough work week. I'm just going to belt out. Let's do it for the boys or whatever your karaoke song is. Do you feel that it's an unethical violation to publicize this kind of private space?
Clearly, they are not the ones going out and getting these screen grabs.
Right, of course.
They're being sent to them.
But they're publicizing. How many Twitter followers does Board
Geniuses
have? It's like
40,000 or something.
Right. It's not insignificant.
So I am okay with it because we cover college football from the national broad view where all of these things at the more team-specific level are not always visible. So I appreciate the level of insight.
I say it's okay because I believe they only post anonymous accounts. So it's not Dave Davis from Dave Davis Dental posting... Here's what I think about, you know, so-and-so's ex-wife. I think I'm okay with the anonymous element of it. So I'm okay, ethically, with the ridiculous things we're about to approach.
So we got a bunch here.
Were you a poster ever?
Yes.
A lurker?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
How many message board accounts do you have?
Currently, just one. And I can't say much beyond that. Yeah. But... Way back when, I used to lurk and I think occasionally post. My career is in no small part to message boards. You know this.
I do. Tell the story. It's a great story.
I spammed when I was at, before I was at SI, when I was doing the college football tour guide, how I got my start in my own website doing these videos at tailgates. I used to spam every single Scout and Rivals message board with my videos. I used to embed every single one of them. Like, hey, I went to Texas A&M this week. Hey, and I just put it on every site and it got viewers. It did well. And then I got banned, I'm sure, from all of them, but it worked. So don't do that now. That's not nice. But, yeah, I used to post and lurk some on, I don't remember if I paid or if I got comped by people I know. That I don't remember because it was so long ago. We're talking like 08, 09, 2010, somewhere in there, at eDuck, which was part of the Scout community when scout.com was a thing. But that's, I did look up your handle, your chosen handle today on Google to see. There's nothing that exciting.
No.
In terms of Google results. But yeah, I am quite familiar. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was part of 2 at 1.3 and now only just 1, which I can't say more about either.
Oh, look at you.
But I understand the ecosystem well. I think in order to be a true college football fan, I wouldn't suggest you go out there and start posting, but you at least need to understand that this is a pretty good hotbed for strange opinions and strange takes as it relates to individual teams in college football.
We'll get into it. Isn't it amazing, though, that you think about every single advance in web technology, every single podcasting, videos, any sort of language. I don't know what Python is. I have no clue, Ty. But there's different languages. There's different ways of conveying information, different social media platforms. But if you want to make a good amount of money in college football, there are like 3.5 ways, and one of which is by running a very successful paywalled message board site, correct? And this is technology from late 90s? This is not crazy advanced web technology. And yet, the appeal for people to spend money is to collectively as a community guess about recruiting. That, like, you can be a former player who makes a ton of money on TV or the radio. You can run a message board, or you can be like Bryce Young. Those are your options right now to make a bunch of money in college football. And so, I mean, good for the people who have been able to like sustain this, because really, this is the move. Like, we know people who run these sites that have a lot of subscribers.
We do.
There's some cash in it. There's absolutely some cash in it. So listen, I tip my cap, and it's one of the ongoing surprises of the internet and sports that this is just hand over fist if you're doing it right for the right team.
It is very much in the broad stroke of the internet, as analog as it gets, but alas, message boards have persisted over the years.
The cockroaches of this current apocalypse.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I want to call reference to this tweet.
Okay, hit me.
This tweet that was posted back on January the 12th. It looks like this one was found over at 11 Warriors.
Oh, shout out Ramsey.
Shout out Ramsey, great Ohio State site.
Okay. What is the message?
I have a new conspiracy theory. Nick Saban and Deion Sanders are in multiple Aflac commercials together, more than likely with connected agents.
Uh-huh.
I say that Nick Saban is endorsing Deion's Jackson State
to top recruits as an alternative to signing with Bama.
Why?
Jackson State becomes a farm team for Bama to poach second and third year players when yeah. needed. Plus, any academic and personal issues get worked out by Jackson State. Simply put, Saban gets first dibs on the JSU transfers and might be able to request them to happen.
First of all, obviously not true. I love this energy here.
This is
tremendous energy.
Message board energy.
This is great. This is great. Where there's no evidence, there's no logic, but at the same time, I can connect some dots in my head where I'm like, I love where this guy's head is at. Like, it makes no sense, but I just love where this guy or gal's head is at. So I'm for this theory, Ty.
Do you remember we had Joel Klatt on the show?
And sure.
And we called out that we had heard from some folks that he may fashion himself a weird college football conspiracy theorist on mm-hmm. a few select topics. This feels like yeah. a Klatt type of thing.
You think Joel Klatt believes or potentially believes that Nick Saban is steering top recruits to Jackson State based on the fun he has with Deion Sanders filming commercials?
I'm saying it's a possibility.
Okay. I have no evidence otherwise, so I will say I love your energy in theorizing that Joel Klatt may buy into this theory. By the way, Message Board Geniuses ranked their top sites, and I think TexAgs, the legendary Texas A&M site, ran away with just in perusing. Like, there should be some sort of TexAgs, and maybe this already exists, like a convention of some kind, like a meeting of the minds, like in the way that we have these international symposiums. Where's
like
the one with
Comic-Con?
All the politicians? Well, no, I'm saying like Davos. Like, isn't that all like the world leaders and like billionaires come together? Like, how can we enrich the world? Like, I think the top posters at TexAgs should be meeting up in some sort of symposium. I love this idea. Like, here's one. Staff, will we get any more commitments before the December 10th weekend? This is from RTP Aggie. My wife is trying to plan her schedule for the month. She likes to know which nights we're getting a commitment so she knows when I will not be, quote, available for her on those nights. I know y'all understand. I don't know if I do, but I would love to learn more. Is he talking about adventures romantically? Is he talking about like just helping out around the house because he's going to be too ensconced in the message board in TexAgs, learning about this new commitment, watching tape, forming opinions about how this new commitment will be involved in the depth chart and what his ceiling will be for the Aggies? I would love to know all of these things. And you know what? As we have both learned, as married dudes, it's really good to give advanced warning when we have plans.
Yeah,
right?
I think this is a thoughtful post.
I think it's great.
I think it's thoughtful. Do you have any friends who have gone down the recruiting rabbit hole?
With Oregon specifically?
I have a friend who did. I have a friend who...
With Notre Dame, with Penn State?
I'm not going to say.
Okay, but you have a friend who like has quote-unquote sources and is like deeply in that world.
He doesn't have sources, but he's very deep into this world.
Okay.
And he may or may not have tweeted at recruits on multiple yeah. occasions. We found it. We didn't know as a larger group of friends how to address this subject
mm-hmm.
with this gentleman. Is an intervention required? What do we do if somebody
was he going
to
games,
us,
the high school games?
Not going to high school games. He's got kids.
That's a level, man. That's a level.
Definitely was following progress throughout high school games, but not actually at the games physically.
Okay.
This is definitely a vibe. Definitely a vibe to be that into recruiting.
I think it's great
that you're altering the schedule like that. It's thoughtful. It is overboard. It's, let's be real, it's a little much, but I appreciate the commitment to the bit.
I like that it potentially is about him spending romantic time with his wife, that he is such a force of nature that his wife needs to know in advance when he's available. That she is like, okay, I have to prepare. I have to get ready for this kind of thing. Yeah, I remember the intro. I don't think this guy was like super involved, like down deep in the wormhole. But I remember around 2002, maybe, he attended USC, a friend from high school. And he told me he was really excited because like a 5-star offensive lineman was coming to USC.
Okay.
And my first thought was, wait, how do you know? isn't there just some big reveal who the new freshmen are going to be? How would anybody know in advance who an incoming, and I think it was Jeff Byers, I want to say, an offensive lineman from, I believe, Colorado. But that was my first approach to college football recruiting being a thing. Like, what? Yeah. He's got this intel? And then it just, you know, went from there. And I was in college at the time. I had no idea. So, yeah, I know some people who've gotten pretty deep into it. But nothing on the level of this post or attending high school games. What is your next message?
My next message, kind of akin to the wife and being prepared. This is just a weird one from a Virginia Tech fan who says, quote, "Can tell from those snug jeans," referring to Brent Pry, "that the dude's got a hog." So.
Of course. Sure. Uh-huh.
No, my actual one is a post from a Georgia fan.
Do you not want to talk about the Virginia Tech fan?
I mean, I don't really have much to add.
Well, no, I'm not asking you to add to that specific visual and that thought. But okay, the question is, hold on, indulge me. It's almost February. The question is, this Virginia Tech fan is looking at Brent Pry's snug, we said jeans, pants, whatever
jeans,
he's wearing.
Jeans, yeah.
And said he's got a huge hog, which great, good for him, whether it's true or not. What is the extrapolation? Like, what is the Cowherd level thinking? Okay, this is who Brent Pry is physically. This is what it means. Like, he's going to go for it on more fourth downs.
Right.
He's going to be more aggressive. He's going to have more testosterone about his, like, he is going to have more confidence as a recruiter wearing these types of pants. Like, what is the Cowherd level extrapolation?
I mean,
you're the one wearing the tinfoil hat.
I am wearing the tinfoil hat. I guess the extrapolation is that observation combined with the fact that he's got a very strong hairline.
His T levels.
May lead to the conclusion that there's a lot of masculinity there.
Of course.
And perhaps that will in some way drive the Virginia Tech program forward. I don't know. I'm making this up on the fly.
I'm just wondering what the excitement is around that as it relates, or it's just an observation, or just like, we got to get to know this new guy. Here's some facts about Brent Pry. Has called really good defenses at Penn State, has a history in the Mid-Atlantic region, can walk into a room and impress you depending on the tightness of his pants. Like, I don't know. I love, again, love the energy here.
Let me go over to uggasports.com. This is about Stetson Bennett. And I saw this and I was like, that's funny. I kind of get it. Quote, "I love the kid and he was forever be a champion," not great grammar, "but our defense just carried this team to a national championship. Next year, our offense will have to be far more dynamic as the defense reloads. And we all know right. Stetson Bennett isn't the guy to make that happen. For his sake and for our programs, I hope he rides off into the sunset. It's time to see what one of the young guys can do." I don't hate this general sentiment.
So it's not
sentiment.
A conspiracy, but yeah.
I don't hate the sentiment because, look, Stetson Bennett got better. Stetson Bennett won a national championship.
Sure.
Stetson Bennett was good in this game. Yes?
He finished it well.
Finished
the first
it well.
Three quarters, I would say, were pretty dicey.
Finished it well, but got the job done. Definitely improved from last year to this year. I understand where this is coming from. This is coming from the same place that my Ian Book sentiment came from a year ago, which is he's good, he's great, he won a lot of games. In this case, won a national championship. You're never going to be able to take that away from him. There is a very clear ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very clear ceiling. So if you're a Georgia fan, and if you're looking at the recruiting class, and if you've got, you know, Brock Vandegrift, like all these guys coming in, I understand wanting to know, would somebody else give us a higher ceiling on offense? Because clearly that's the area where Georgia needs to improve next season.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I get it. I get it. I would also say maybe take a beat to enjoy that you won the national championship.
No, I love this. Turn the page.
But it's always about the next game. What are we going to do next?
Yeah, this is, what sport are we talking about here, Ty?
So from that standpoint, I'm wearing the hat. Maybe it's getting into my brain, but I understand the logic here. I'm okay with it.
I'm totally with it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I appreciate it because this is like college football distilled into a series of letters and spaces that, sure, this guy did something that no modern quarterback has done in 40 years for our program, surrounded by great talent with a great defense, et cetera, et cetera. But the argument could also be made that Stetson Bennett was much more consistently good than any other modern Georgia quarterback. Like, he didn't throw in the sheer number of dud games that guys like Matt Stafford or Aaron Murray or whoever, Jake Fromm, Jake Eason, threw in as starters at Georgia. But at the same time, you're seduced by the what if. You're seduced by the future. You know what you have in Stetson Bennett. You don't know what you have in, like, Brock Vandegrift or whoever the next guy is for Georgia. And so I'm okay with this. I don't think it's insane at all.
No.
I think it's consistent with what we know about the sport. So I appreciate it.
I'm okay with it.
RedRaidersSports.com from Reckham432. My cousin sells weed in Southlake, a very nice area of Austin. And he said Quinn and his buddy Brady Boyd, wide receiver at Minnesota, are 100% confirmed to the 806. The 806 area code, just to be clear, appears to be Northwest Texas, where Lubbock is.
Mm.
The Panhandle and South Plains, including the cities of Amarillo and Lubbock. Quinn Ewers not signed, sealed, delivered to Texas Tech,
right?
Correct?
That's per my latest understanding of the portal, yes.
Now, I don't know if you have rankings in terms of, like, here are the trustworthy sources. Is a weed dealer top 5, top 10? Because some people are going to know. There are always going to be whispers out there,
yeah,
that, like, right, Bruce Feldman or Nicole Auerbach or Pete Thamel are not hip to. We're always going to have those people who know well in advance, this guy failed a drug test, this guy's flunking out of school, this guy's transferring, this guy hates the coach, this guy's dad hates the coach, whatever. There's always going to be, like, and those are correct. Those are good sources with good information. I would just like to figure out how trustworthy a weed dealer, because if said weed dealer is the weed dealer of people within the program and they trust him or her for whatever reason with transfer information or, like, this guy's coming, that's pretty cool. Didn't work out in this scenario. This dealer is 0 for something, but I don't know. I like that this poster has hit the streets in terms of figuring out, yeah, where the murmurs and whispers
pounding
are
the pavement,
and is sharing that. Pounding the pavement. A Woodward Bernstein of the message board generation. I'm good with it. It didn't work out, but he took a shot. He took a shot in sharing some intel that didn't work out. Still good with it.
Here's one from the Michigan faithful, Dan.
Yeah.
Michigan came in flat. Happy to be there. I think he's talking about the playoff. Bad game plan, poor adjustments, and the game just got away. Good season, but Michigan should be playing Bama for the title.
Mm-hmm.
All these analysts, this garbage about Michigan getting a taste of elite. Nope. Too bad. Hopefully next time they are better prepared. The implication here is that Georgia is still second fiddle to Michigan, that Michigan is better than the Georgia,
right,
Bulldogs, despite the fact that we watched that game.
So this can happen, right? And Bill Connelly has a metric about second order wins, where there are games in which, because of weird occurrences, or maybe that's, you know, freak injuries or whatever, where it's just like, man, this team looks like they should have won. They seem to have dominated the game, but whether it was special teams miscues or a couple uncharacteristic explosion plays, whatever, this other team won. Was there any part of you after watching Michigan Georgia that,
no,
that you sat back and said, man, I think Georgia was smoking mirrors there?
No. This is a very common message board posting, by the way.
We were the better team.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Very common.
I can't get on board with this.
No.
I appreciate the attempt, and I think it can apply to certain matchups.
I'm not on board in this situation.
This is from 73 really 73 on Horns 247. If you're on the board anywhere, PK, Pete Kwiatkowski, defensive coordinator, Texas, I'll be in Austin this week. Let's blanking throw down. If I win, you get the blank out of Texas and go back to the West Coast. If you win, you can stay and, quote, coach your bleeping too high safety defense. Spoiler alert, I'm going to kick your bleep. Bleep you.
Let's settle this okay. like men by the bleachers.
Meet in Temecula. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, should more coaching decisions come down to whether or not a coordinator can defeat a specific message board poster?
I'm not totally against it. It's content.
Should the more savvy coaches out there, assistants, head coaches, or whatever, do anonymous town halls with message boards? So Pete Kwiatkowski would at least be offered a chance to respond to 73, right. really 73, and perhaps reveal his own martial arts background or fighting background so that everybody could know. And I'm not saying they should settle it this way. Like, I don't think scheme decisions should be based on an ability to defeat a message board poster in hand-to-hand combat. I don't. But I think there should be considerations.
Yeah.
I think that if it's decided that we know about the background, the fighting background is 73, and we learn about the fighting background of Pete Kwiatkowski, I don't think they should fight. But I think if Pete Kwiatkowski knows that he's physically outmanned, that he listen to 73 in this town hall and not necessarily implement, but at least listen to his suggestions if he finds out that 73 is in fact a trained killer of some kind.
I mean, I guess the flip
side
would
be, he's going to have to prove his bona fides.
The flip side would be somebody on an LSU message board wanting to fight Coach O.
Which is a tough beat.
I don't think you want to fight Coach O. I don't know what his level of training is. I have seen his intensity on the sidelines, and we've read about his intensity for years. I feel like you only post this if you feel like you have a decent chance.
Right.
Or at least you shouldn't post it unless you have a decent chance.
Now, let's just assume this lady or gentleman is chemically altered and felt especially brave in challenging via message board the defensive coordinator to a fight. But at the same time, I appreciate the like heads up, like here is when I'm going to be in Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
The assumption that Pete Kwiatkowski is trolling the message board, or Pete Kwiatkowski's people are trolling the message board. Here is my schedule with which you can use the information however you want to set up a fight. Also, I don't like that he didn't set up the parameters of the fight. Are they boxing? Is it no holds barred? What
I think
is
it's
the,
probably
the
no holds
choice?
Barred. I think it's got to be.
You think
no
it's bar style fighting, anything goes?
I think so. Yeah.
Eye gouging, nut shots, whatever.
It's Johnny Cash. It's Boy Named Sue. It's, you know,
okay.
You got the pocket knife, whatever. Whatever.
I just think he's so organized with like letting Pete Kwiatkowski know when he's going to be in town. He might have an idea of like the ideal way to fight because he's kind of being a gentleman about it in a backwards way.
Hey, what's our theory on coaches actually reading message boards?
100% of them or their people or family members do.
Yeah, I agree.
There is somebody in the Alabama program, in the Clemson program, in the Ohio State program, monitoring, and I guess this is like a succession reference, like they're monitoring the temperature of the digital fan base. They are. They absolutely
It was told to me by a mutual friend of ours. Somebody who peddles in much of these coaching rumors that 100% of the time they know everything being said about them. For as confident as they may come across on the surface, they're all terribly insecure and know everything that's being said about them always. So
now,
just assume that they have people who are monitoring.
Yeah. Okay. What do you have next?
This is from, what is this site? This is from a Bama site, Bama Online. Titled Katie Freakin' Perry. We are 0-2 when she is affiliated with one of our games. First Ole Miss, now this, please never again.
Mm.
I can get behind this. You know I'm very superstitious.
Yeah, this is where that goes, yeah.
This is a tie thing. This is speaking right into the heart of me as a college football fan.
Yeah.
For a long time, I would not pick Notre Dame to win on this podcast to cover a point spread.
Right.
I tried the reverse jinx. I quit the day job. I decided, okay, we're going to start a new chapter. We're not going to do that. Notre Dame went 11-1. And I didn't really even think twice about, should I be picking? Should I not be picking here? I just made a full break from it, and it worked out okay for me. There are still many other aspects of my life where, you know, if there's something that maybe gives me a little bit of discomfort around a decision, if maybe the universe is sending me an odd sign, I just kind of cautiously back away from that. I appreciate this. I appreciate that they're posting this. And it may have been a tongue-in-cheek post. For me, it wouldn't have been. I have long said that the green jersey games for Notre Dame football, even though the numbers don't back me up.
Cursed. Yeah.
The green jerseys are cursed, man. Don't wear the green jersey. I get it. It's a novelty. I get it. Stick to what works. The current uniforms are working fine. You don't need to do the green jersey thing and freak me out. And so I appreciate the black cat that is Katy Perry here in this case. I appreciate the anxiety that it might provoke among the fan base. This is totally something I can get on board with.
Look, if Alabama, he says Alabama, right?
Yes.
The Alabama fan base, 0-2. There, she was at the Ole Miss game and talked about Trevor Knight and all sorts of stuff. If they have bad blood with Katy Perry, you got to go after the other side of bad blood, do you not? You got to get T-Swift on game day. Be solution-oriented. I believe that's who bad blood is about, right?
It was, but then they did a video together, and I think they buried
the
hatchet.
Oh, they mended fences?
Yeah.
Oh.
They buried the hatchet.
That's too bad. But then again, I think T-Swift lives in Tennessee.
I think she lives in London She lives in London.
Oh, does she? You've been following closer than I have.
Yeah, that's what I'm told from my sources.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure.
Yeah, Katy Perry's tough, man. She's tough. Staying power, I would say, as we've talked about. Next one I have. I'm going to stick with Texas here because it's just so good. This is from Brazil Horn. Mm-hmm. I don't know which Texas site this is from. It's not on this screen grab. I hope Baylor Stadium gets foreclosed on and the Magnolia F-heads buy it for pennies on the dollar, cover it in shiplap, and hang barn doors over the entrances, then make it, this is my word, a crappy, but you know what I'm substituting, B&B.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that level of intensity.
Well, it's so specific because the local knowledge is strong.
Yeah.
That they know that this poster, Brazil Horn, perhaps all the way from Sao Paulo, is making reference to Chip and Joanna. I don't know if I've actually watched the show, but I've seen pictures and stories about
it. Fixer Upper, of
course. Fixer Upper. I have not been in the stadium. I don't know whether or not shiplap and barn doors, that like fake vintage farmhouse look, would improve it. It's relatively new, but I appreciate the specificity of that kind of message board anger, even though it doesn't fully make sense, because I think that would only encourage more and more people to be excited within the stadium, because apparently their store in Texas is like the most popular tourist destination in the state.
Right. That's
so
correct.
That would just get people jumping and getting in line for Baylor tickets to make a ton of noise in that stadium. So yeah, I appreciate it. It's sort of off the beaten path as a trash talking subject, but I'm good with it.
We drove past it.
Yeah.
We drove past it on our journey from Austin up to Dallas before one of our live shows a couple years ago now. It feels like an eternity ago because we haven't done live shows in forever. I-35, if I want to say correctly, we were driving past it. We drove past it in the daylight, and I was not impressed by it from afar. It did not
look. Yeah, it didn't do much for me, but we weren't inside.
We weren't inside,
knows?
And people who have been inside say it's a fun place to watch a game, and I will try to stay objective. I would just say from afar, driving past at like 75 miles an hour, it was sort of unspectacular to me. That being said, that this is a different level of intensity.
It is.
But I like the local knowledge. I think if you're going to trash talk a stadium, if you're going to trash talk a fan base, I know Baylor fans are particularly proud of the new stadium, and they should be. This is the level of intensity I think that you need.
Okay. What do you have next?
I've got one here from USC fans.
Oh, love this.
This is some good forward thinking. With Brian Kelly out at Notre Dame, I don't see a loss on the schedule. If we go undefeated and win the Pac-12, we are in the playoffs. No way in the world the networks would give up the LA TV market, Dan. The budding LA college football TV market, which we never talk about on the program for good reasons.
That's true.
Not seeing a loss on the schedule is another one of those common strokes among message board posters. People who look at a schedule, they look at the surroundings going into a new season and are just very bullish on the team. Comically so.
Of course.
Talk to me about USC's depth chart. Talk to me about this roster. Obviously, if they get Caleb Williams, that'd be a pretty big boon. They already got Mario Williams. the transfer wideout from Oklahoma. So
right.
Lincoln Riley's doing a good job. But
yeah.
also...
They've got a bunch of guys transferring in, yeah.
But also, it's not as if the cabinet is fully stocked and ready for mm-hmm. a national championship run in 2022. Am I right in saying that?
I see losses. So Notre Dame is, if you're looking at the schedule, Notre Dame is the end of the season, right?
Yeah.
So they have Notre Dame with, we don't even know who the starting quarterback is going to be. They're at UCLA. It's in LA, but at UCLA, who they just got destroyed by, right?
Correct.
This past year. They've got a Colorado team that's kind of floundering. Cal, who knows? Arizona improving. At Utah. At Utah's a penciled in win. The Pac-12 champ with their returning starting quarterback. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
At Utah, we've got Wazoo at home, Arizona State at home, Oregon State on the road. Remind me, who won that game last year?
I believe
the Beavs comfortably.
I believe Oregon State. Yeah.
Fresno State with Jeff Tedford, who's back, baby.
He's back.
Rice and Stanford. They don't do much for me. If USC somehow runs the table, they run the table. I don't see it. I think there's at least two or three, four losses, whatever, because it's year one and it's just difficult to win big right away when you don't have the depth to do so. But it is the Pac-12, and they don't have a challenging game in the non-conference part of the early schedule, the Notre Dame to finish. So I am not taking this seriously. I wonder, though, does Lincoln Riley in LA, in LAX, does he pass the Hudson News test?
Ooh.
In LA?
Yeah. He does in Norman, right?
Yeah, Oklahoma City.
He does in Norman. He does in Dallas. He probably does in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think he would do. I think he would be recognized in most large airports, mid-size airports near major college football hubs. Definitely.
I don't know about Philly.
No, but I'm saying Philly's not a major college football hub.
But LA is interesting to me.
Like, he'd be recognized in the Nashville airport, in the Charlotte airport, Birmingham, Atlanta.
Yeah. But LA is sort of a different animal, isn't it? It's a different level of big game if you're hunting for celebrities at LAX than in Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Like, would TMZ, if they were not tipped off to his flight landing at LAX, would one of their like photographers or producers instantly be like, oh, that's the USC coach? Like, is Lincoln Riley one of the 500 most famous people in LA? Is he one of the most 200? Is he the 447th most famous person in his college town?
See, you're the West Coast guy. I have no context for LA.
I don't think he is.
Interesting. He's getting paid handsomely.
He is.
But the Hudson News Test. So here's the Hudson News Test for people wondering.
Yeah.
The Hudson News Test is, and we said this all the time about Clay Helton.
Yeah.
The Hudson News Test is if your college football coach is out and about mm-hmm. and you saw him at a Hudson News in an airport or a train station mm-hmm. or anywhere around the world where there are Hudson Newses,
mm-hmm.
would you recognize him? Or would he be recognized by a random passerby at that Hudson News? Clay Helton almost certainly would not be.
No.
And we cover the sport. I'm not sure we would recognize him. Lincoln Riley, I think we would, but would the average passerby, the average person?
Yeah. Here's. Oh, man, we're going to pile on Clay Helton. There's no reason to. Everybody seems to like him personally. If we were at a Mexican restaurant in St. Louis, okay, and Clay Helton came over to our table and said, is everything okay? And he was dressed like a manager. You guys having a good time? Those enchiladas hitting. I think I might just say, yeah, it's great. Thanks. I don't know.
I don't think we would know that it's him.
Like, if you went to go buy a new Mazda and Clay Helton were on the showroom floor and he said, you interested in gas or you interested in hybrid? Would you look at him and be like, I'm sorry, is that former USC head coach Clay Helton? Or would you say, well, we're looking at a third row. We've got a big dog. And I don't know. Just asking questions, Ty. I'm just asking questions.
The marketplace of ideas.
Yeah. I've got so many. I don't know how long we want this show to be. This could be our best or worst show ever. I don't know. We've got a Clemson post about, it is not even the least bit suspicious that our problems on offense started just after the Herb Street twins walked onto the football team. I mean, feel like we are executing brilliantly on offense, but the other team simply has the plays snuffed out before they begin. So this gentleman or lady, Tiger Bomb One, is suggesting...
Right. There's a mole.
That one of the Herb Street twins is leaking the offensive game plan, or both are, in conjunction with one another. And then he goes on to say, I know that I have mocked some of you in the past with this ESPN paranoia crap, but this thing is starting to take legs. It would not surprise me one bit that ESECPN would stoop this low to damage our program. Laugh all you like.
Wow. So we're talking full on Herbie leaks here is what we're talking about.
We're talking Herbie leaks. We're saying that ESPN has such a pronounced vendetta against Clemson.
Naturally.
Because they are not in the SEC. That Kirk Herbstreit, analyst of the biggest analyst in the sport, has employed his two sons to get him the game plan in writing, I guess, or just here's
how
what
did they
formations.
Do it? How did they do it at Louisville?
Louisville. With what?
The whole WikiLeaks thing, right?
Well, that was the announcer.
Right. Okay.
That was an announcer that had access to some sort of game plans, tipping off calls or signals or something like that. So the Herb Street twins, I guess, would know the signals and would know the calls and the adjustments and the opening script or something like that. But, man, I, for one, am fully on board. I am fully on board with this being a worthwhile conspiracy to pull on the string to see where it leads.
Is this... I mean, they got to be using Signal or some sort of encrypted app, I would assume.
You would think so.
These are Gen Z kids at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to get around the system. I love the energy with which this was posted.
Oh, my God. It's great.
This post is long enough that it was not written tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, yeah.
This is somebody who honestly believes
this. He went on
this.
To say, like, laugh all you like,
yeah,
but connect the dots, people.
This is somebody who's into it. I love this. I am not on board with this as a real thing, but
no,
I'm totally on
not.
Board with this energy. I love it.
I love the full denial of any sort of accountability that the offensive line has struggled and a young quarterback has struggled and the play calling has been pretty woeful and the assistant hiring has been probably loyal to a fault. Like there is a full dedication and buy-in to Clemson football that it must be the outsiders,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
It must be this chemical element added to the otherwise pure elixir that has changed the foundation and success. I love it. I love that sort of blind dedication. And so I'm okay with it.
All right. So we're running short on time. It's a long show. I've got one, maybe two more that I can do here.
Okay.
Do you want me
I'll
to
select
do
the best of my remainings? Yeah.
Do you want me to do Kansas joining the SEC? Do you want me to do mm-hmm. Clemson doing it the right way? The Raiders not interested in Jim Harbaugh. Billy Napier nixing a lazy river.
I like that one. That's recent.
Yeah. So Billy Napier, there were apparently plans as part of Florida's renovation effort to build a lazy river in the football facility. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman says that getting rid of the lazy river in the new facilities is strike one. It was a real selling point. Unbelievable. Now, I did see there was some fallout to this posting
mm-hmm. yeah.
by the Board Geniuses, i.e. folks within the Florida community who don't like the poster and yeah. don't want anything to do with the poster.
They're disassociating. And the Message Board Geniuses account and people or person who runs it is very quick to say, we understand that these are isolated thoughts, not the full reflection of an entire fan base.
Right. And that's also a very important point here that we should mention.
Yes, of course.
These are by no means representative of entire fan bases. These are very much extreme examples. That's why there's a Twitter account.
But it's representative of fringe college football fans. All of these are within the realm of fringe college football thinking, for sure.
Is a lazy river,
mm-hmm.
is a ball pit,
is
slide at Clemson. Yeah,
a LSU sleep pod.
Yeah, the dentist's office at Oregon, barbershop. Yeah,
are any of these things such deal breakers that if you're a five-star recruit, it is going to alter your decision-making process?
Yeah, so it's a wow factor thing. It's not that you're selecting a school because of the slide or the putt-putt course or the barbershop or the lazy river. It's the wow factor of this place is luxury. This place is treating its players in a way that is not consistent with the lower level schools recruiting me. Lazy River is a wow factor item, Ty. I can't deny that. Like, yeah. I come across very few places that offer their own lazy rivers.
I have Googled how much it would cost to build my own lazy river. Have I told you this?
Of course, as we all have.
I would love to have a lazy river. I think it's by far the most underrated of all water park attractions.
So how would you employ a lazy river on your property?
I have no idea. There's no way I could. Okay. It would cost more than I'm worth for sure.
Right.
So I get the allure of the lazy river. I like the allure of the lazy river. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. I just like maybe buy some extra iPads or virtual reality goggles or something that's not as extreme as the lazy river. I just don't see that as a huge selling point.
No. Again, though, it's wow factor. It's you've seen the rest. Now come play for the best. And chill out in an inner tube around the facility during your free time. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with bemoaning the loss of a potential lazy river because it's a differentiating factor.
I'm not on board with this.
All right. Then we agree to disagree.
All right. Give me your final one.
This is from there's a Kansas State posting about eating too much potato salad causing diarrhea. I think that's sort of self-evident. Like, monitor how much potato salad you eat because you never know what it's going to do to your system and how you'll respond to having too much potato salad.
That's correct.
I've got a post about the Chicago Mafia getting involved with Illinois beating Nebraska.
Okay.
I've got an Auburn fan saying they should build a statue to honor Gus Malzahn. It's pretty good. I've got a post from Clemson and Texas A&M. Do not get enough credit for having these magical homes on the internet.
No.
And I wish they would like create an annual game. Like ditch South Carolina, ditch the hopes of Texas A&M playing Texas, and set up a Texas A&M Clemson rivalry.
We need
just for
the Clemson A&M metaverse is what we need.
I've got an Ohio State poster on Bucknuts, which appears to be the 24/7 site, saying Tate Martell was the curse. Serious question. What if he was our next guy? This was posted. I don't have a date when this was posted. He can throw. He can run. He can maybe be what's needed to get our offense over the hill. CJ Stroud can't run, but he can throw. Our offense is based on the quarterback's ability to do it all, and currently we have an elite passer, but not a non-existent runner. How well might Tate Martell have done in this offense with Day at his side? Tate Martell last seen playing consistently a receiver for Miami, I think, as a backup at UNLV. Yes?
That's correct, yeah.
Hard to see that being the answer. My final full question from Brady. So it might be an actual person named Brady. Can a school buy a player from another school? Is the subject. It wouldn't be paying the player, but a school-to-school transaction.
Yeah,
they can use the money to add on to stadiums or buy many players through raising tuition.
This is full on transfer, i.e. English Premier League.
It's borderline human trafficking is how I'm reading this. Instead of recruiting, we should just buy the best players already playing. So let's give it the weight it deserves, which is obviously none, but... So people are going to say this is not a joke. This is not funny. This is NIL. This is where we are heading, right? This is the slippery slope that the solid verbal boulder is rolling down. So could Clemson arrange deals with other schools? So explain EPL, like the top clubs can go to other clubs or lower level clubs who are perhaps more cash strapped and money hungry and say, look, we're going to buy the rights to this player for a certain amount of time and then return that player after that time?
Something like that? There's a whole host of different ways you could do it. You could buy a guy for a certain period of time. That's called a loan. Mm-hmm. Right. You can loan a guy out.
Yep.
You can also just straight up buy a guy if you got the money, if you got a player that, you know, it's not working out in one place, or maybe it'll work out better in yours. You can just go out and pay the transfer fee, and then you own the rights to that player. And so it is very transactional. There are many clubs out there who have made small fortunes doing this by having a good scouting department, by bringing in top talent, by selling them for, you know, a factor, 8X, 10X of what they initially paid. And then they use the money for something else, either players or facilities or, you know, any number of different things. So it's very much a soccer philosophy.
So my question to you is, let's take this seriously. The obvious upgrade that Clemson could have used in purchasing another player, again, couldn't have this player making the money off of this transaction. The team, the program, the school can use said money, right? That they need the money to improve their stadium or, you know, hit their recruiting budget or their travel budget, whatever, uniform budget. If Clemson were to pay Western Kentucky for Bailey Zappe, of course, Bailey Zappe, why would he get any of that money, right? If Bailey Zappe were to go to Clemson based on this kind of loan, after four or five games where Bailey Zappe's like, oh man, this kid at Western Kentucky, not geographically too far away, is lighting it up, right? Had a good game against Michigan State. And Western Kentucky's not making Power 5 TV cash. So let's say Clemson, who is making that big cash, offered, you know, $1 million or something like that, a non-insignificant amount of money that Western Kentucky could put towards a different sport, whatever. They're like, okay, fine. We like our backup. We'll go with it. Does Bailey Zappe make an appreciable difference in the Clemson 2021 season if they could buy the best available, or Grayson McCall, whoever it is, that the best available, but I feel like Coastal Carolina was winning more games, so they would be a little more hesitant, though it's in the geographic footprint even more. Is there a world in which the best G5 quarterback, especially local to the South, Southeast, is making a difference in Clemson's season? Should this be an allowable transaction?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so Clemson lose. I don't think Bailey Zappe beats Georgia, and we wouldn't know because Bailey Zappe wouldn't be available and he wouldn't be a known commodity to open the season.
Right, right. I mean, there are always no shortage of really good group of five quarterbacks, and DJU was bad early on. He got better.
Disappointing, yeah.
Right, he got better, but he was very bad early on. Mm-hmm. So could you bring in somebody? Could you bring in a Grayson McCall? I get that Coastal might be adverse to that move.
Yeah.
But everybody's got a price. Everybody's got a price. If you're Coastal, if you can make bank to get Grayson McCall, pro prospect, to get him over to Clemson, yeah, of course. So I think it's an interesting question. There are some around college football, by the way, who think it's headed in this direction because of NIL. You know, program can't straight up buy a guy. A program can't straight up pay a guy.
But boosters have businesses and invest in a fund of some kind. Yeah.
There are some folks who think that we're headed in this direction, that it could potentially derail college football. As we know, Kirby Smart, Nick Saban might be two of them.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me. It's interesting to me. I'm not totally against the spirit behind this post. It, of course, is outlandish. But that being said, I understand where it's coming from. And I don't know, maybe a year or two more into NIL, we'll be singing a similar tune. Like, we got to get boosters aligned here. We got to go out and we got to buy a quarterback that can come and help this thing.
Right. I love this because it takes the autonomy fully away from Bailey Zappe in this. I was like, hey, college football. It's you're going to college and you happen to be good at football and we're going to give you a bunch of money to attend school and any other expenses. And in return, you're going to play college football for us. Also, if another school thinks they could use you more, we'll sell you. That energy is kind of misplaced. But yeah, Bailey's happy with. Now, Clemson's receivers were disappointed. The offensive line was disappointing. I don't think Clemson fans were huge fans of Tony Elliott's job this past year or two.
Right, right.
But is Bailey Zappe connecting on more passes downfield? They lose to what? NC State in double OT. And Pitt by 8 or 10 points or something like that. They're losing to Georgia either way. That gets them in the playoff. If Bailey Zappe is the difference against Pitt and NC State. Now, I don't know. Clemson wasn't able really to stop in overtime. Like, that was a defensive thing. It was Devin Leary connecting on some crazy passes. But I think Zappe, in this alternate universe with time to learn the system and get in a rhythm and whatever, blah, blah, blah. I think he's better. Yeah.
We are going to need to come back to this premise. You know how Conan used to have the Walker Texas Ranger lever?
Of course, until he realized that he didn't want to pay residuals to the actors in the clips he was showing on his show. That's the reason they stopped, because they were like, I think the people at the studio that produced Walker Texas Ranger are going to start charging you for this.
Yeah. What we need to do is we need to have a message board lever.
Of course.
You need to make a sound. I'm giving you the assignment.
I can do that. And every week, sound. Just take a dip in.
I don't know, every week, every other week, every month.
Yeah, every so often.
Mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be helpful to have a message board lever.
Yeah.
SolidVerbal@gmail.com is the email address. Write in. Let us know if there are any that we missed.
Or just your favorite.
Please do continue to monitor the artists over at Board Geniuses on Twitter. We appreciate their fine work. We appreciate the fine work of the college football community in putting these thoughts, these ideas, some of this drivel into the universe. We love the energy.
The all-time message board post, I'm going to get this wrong, but this is the sketch of it. John Boyce, who I've known forever, good friend of mine. Yeah, decent friend of mine. I haven't seen him in a long time. He did a whole video about on bodybuilding.com, an argument erupted about how many days there were in a week. And somebody insisted that it was not 7. There was an ongoing, I want to say like very long days, weeks, months, years debate. Look it up. About how many days there actually were in a week. Yeah. It's great. You should look up the John Boyce video. John's the best. That's it. That's all I have.
That's
Treasure
all I
Message
have.
Board Geniuses. They're one of the very few bright spots in social media nowadays, which is, can be a very toxic environment unless you follow the Solid Verbal.
Don't forget to go on out to verballers.com.
Yes.
Check out what we're doing on Patreon. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you like what we do. Follow us on social media, YouTube, all the usual hotspots. One more time, solidgiveaway.com. You have about a month to get your name in the hat to win that Reggie Bush signed mini helmet.
Yes.
Fun show, Dan. Always good to chat. We will be back on Thursday for the masses. For that guy over there, my good friend Dan, for myself, Ty, over here in snowy and cold, slushy Eastern Pennsylvania. Talk to y'all soon. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.